know what time it is.
You know what it is.
Welcome to the Culture Podcast.
Welcome to the Culture Podcast.
A podcast inspired by and representing for the culture.
Just been a fan of the culture and the authenticness of it.
Everything from hip hop.
What's up, y'all? This is J. Cole.
Yo, it's Ice Baby.
It's Kendrick Lamar.
It's the baby.
Sports.
Mahomes looking to flip, takes it in for the touchdown.
Urban life.
It's heat up right now.
And everything in between.
Let's go.
The show starts now with your hosts, Jeff and Anthony.
Yo, 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 yo. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Culture. It's your boy Jeff here with my man Ant. What's goody?
I'm glad you stopped playing that number shit. I am.
This is episode 124, though.
All you need to know is that it's an episode. And then when you put the show up, you know which number it is. Until then, fuck off.
This is Martin Luther King weekend. Celebrating the great Dr. Martin Luther King. And in honor of Dr. King.
Hold up. Didn't you just get this shit off?
Yeah. My job just gave us two black days off this year. They gave us Martin Luther King and they gave us Juneteenth.
Boy, y'all wasn't getting shit.
We wasn't getting those 2 days.
Y'all was really here working on MLK. But like I said, I can't say that MLK thing for everybody because I know it's a lot of people out there that don't get that shit off. And that's kind of a shame, actually, when I think about it.
Yeah, I mean, like the healthcare workers obviously don't get that off. But there's a lot of different professions and companies that don't give a fuck about that shit. But in honor of Dr. King, we're going to be talking a lot about racism this week. But before we get into that, I want to thank Mr. Cal Gameface Lee for coming on last week. That was a very good interview, I think.
Yeah, thanks, Cal. Appreciate that. You dying to get on their show now, ain't you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they talk sports. I love sports. He saw how passionate I am about the topics that I want to discuss. So I'm ready to go on that show.
Hey, you got the man information. And what is it? I don't know. You try to get in touch with him around All-Star. You know what? I just realized it kind of low-key pissed me off. Well, not pissed me off because I honestly don't care when I think about it. Hold on. Dun, 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 dun. Super Bowl 2023. Rihanna will be performing. And what are you doing, Super Bowl?
Probably hosting.
That's great. That's great. Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
You said Rihanna's hosting, is performing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think, isn't Justin Timberlake performing also?
He's banned. That motherfucker ain't never coming back.
I think he is, bro.
It's Rihanna.
And Janet is banned. He ain't.
I thought it would have been fire before Kanye lost his mind if all him, Jay-Z, and Rihanna would have came out there, but that's not going to happen now. And congratulations, Kanye, on your marriage, apparently.
Who the fuck did he marry?
Somebody that works with him at Yeezy. One of the designers, apparently. Apparently, I don't know. Apparently, that's what's being said or whatever. I don't know if it's like a real marriage or just like a ceremony, like symbolic. Look, man, that's all I'm pretty much going to say about the guy. But, okay, so you're going to have a little get-together on Super Bowl, you know, kick it and so on and so forth, right?
Right.
God, man, I'm glad you really do appreciate me. Thank you for that.
Shout out to our culture crew.
You have no idea what I'm talking about, do you? You have no idea what I'm talking about. The Super Bowl is going to be played on February 12th.
Right.
God damn it. Continue.
Oh, that's your birthday.
There you go, you bitch.
It doesn't always land on the 12th, right?
No.
It has to be a Sunday, right? Whatever the Sunday. Your shit was a Saturday last year.
Right, no, because of how it changed. So it won't be next year, because next year it'll be a Monday. But like, it's always going to happen now because they gave it an extra week around that time. So that's going to be fun. Now, Coach Crew, run them off.
We got Mikey Shee.
Mm-hmm.
Who just had a baby and the motherfucker's already like as tall as me and shit. Hairy as fuck, too. He look like Teen Wolf.
Head full of hair, too. Big as fuck. Like, yo, get this little monster out of here.
He be posting pictures. I'm like, yo, why are you showing me pictures of Teen Wolf, bro? Wearing some fucking Jordans.
The next picture, you're going to see that baby have a cigarette in his hand. Like, life is hard. Like, look at you. You old as shit.
Shout outs to D-Block Helwig. Shout outs to King Kaza the Third. King Kaza the Third is actually coming down. He's going to be in the tri-state area soon.
Don't say when. I don't think that man don't want nobody know about his whereabouts. He won't say what his real name is. So,
you're right. That's facts. That's fact. My bad.
He's going to be somewhere in America in a couple of days, or weeks, or months, or whatever. That's what you like, King Kaiser.
Shout outs to Melly Mel.
Thank you.
And shout outs to Tosh.
Thank you. See how easy that was.
And I wanted to real quickly tell you about some stats. Our 2022 podcast stats brought to you by Buzzsprout, who hosts our podcast. So shout outs to them.
They got the numbers. All right, I'm listening.
We got the numbers, man. Shout out to Buzzsprout. If anybody wants to start their own podcast, holla at Buzzsprout. I'll put the link in. Y'all could check them out. They'll help you out. All right. 2022. The Culture Podcast. We dropped 47 episodes for a total of 2,694 minutes. God damn, bro. I was talking to you for that long. Shit.
No, I was talking to you for that long.
You know how many hours that is, bro?
I ain't doing the math too many.
Let's do the math. That's almost 45 hours, bro. 44.9 hours of me and you talking shit.
I was talking to you for a whole paycheck plus overtime.
Facts.
A whole paycheck plus OT. Jesus.
Whew. We had 78,900 downloads.
Whew, really? Damn. All right.
And this is the startling stat for me. When I saw this shit, I was like, what? We were heard in 80 different countries. I don't know how that happened.
I don't know. All I speak is English, Ebonics, and job interview. That's it.
I barely leave New Jersey, bro.
Look,
I don't remember the last time I left the tri-state area. Well, I've gone to Florida a few times here and there, but you know what I'm saying? But we were heard in 80 countries, bro.
That's a good look. I'm proud of that, man.
That's a good look.
Like, how are y'all hearing us? Like, and the thing is that it's 80 different countries, so I don't know if they have any fucking idea what we're talking about.
They probably just stumble up. They probably surf in the web and stumble upon our shit, click it a couple times and be like, huh, well, I don't know what they're saying.
I don't care. As long as they do, that's good, though.
You know what I'm saying?
Damn, man, you need to.
Because you figure how many countries are English speaking countries?
Not a lot of them, believe it or not.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, in India, they could probably hear it. They could hear it in like the UK, Canada, some Latin American countries.
I mean, it's really UK, Canada, some of the Caribbean islands, not South America, not China.
That's some Asian countries.
Right, but the primary language isn't English. They're like they speak it, but it's primarily not like to them. English is a second language, and to us,
right. But there's people that can understand it there, that can speak it. The whole Africa, the whole, you know what I mean? Everybody, all the countries in Africa could speak it and listen to it.
Depends on where. Australia, it's a fair amount. Let's put it that way. It's a fair amount. It's a lot of more countries that don't speak English that do. But the whole fact is that we're able to reach 80 of them. I'm happy about that.
Yeah, so that's crazy.
Damn, man. Well, all that makes me realize you need to get the fuck out of New Jersey more.
The top five episodes. Number one is the one episode that's called The Joe Rogan Experience. I wonder why.
Mm-hmm.
That was the number one listened to episode.
That's going to be our cheat code. What we're going to do is take our podcast and just name it after other random podcasts. Like, it's going to call it like...
That are popular.
Like, The Joe Button Podcast. We're going to go down like the top 20 podcasts out there and just name our podcast after that. So that they just going to go ahead
until we get sued?
Yeah.
Until we get a subpoena? Until we get
that cease and desist letter. Like, yo, relax. Take my shit off of there. I mean, instead of Joe Button, could you do it like Joe Button, like B-U-T, like the button, like B-U-T-T-O-N. Like, it's not the Button Podcast, but it's the Button Podcast. Like, Joe Regan, so on and so forth.
Or we can misspell it. We can misspell it on purpose, like you exactly. said, instead of button.
Right.
Oprah Winfrey, like win and then free money. The Joseph Oprah Winfrey podcast.
Like Joseph Rogan, not Joe Rogan, but Joseph, like spell it all the way out. See, we sat here right now, we done unlocked some shit. This is how we're going to reach like Antarctica.
Since we're talking about racism this week, this whole list looks kind of racism. So that's the number one episode of the year for us, the Joe Rogan Experience. The second episode that got the most views mm-hmm. was The Real Slim Shady. That was an episode where we had Mikey Sheehan, and he was ranting about his dislike of Eminem, I believe. Remember that?
Yes.
Then the third most listened to episode was Brian Flores versus the NFL and racism. So we're still on the racism theme. The fourth most listened to episode, caught me by surprise, is the one when we had Mr. Stephen Martin on. The Law of One with Stephen Martin.
Hey, man, I got to give probably Stephen more credit tonight. Stephen probably got the push-up. He probably was actually one of the people, and that's why I be hating little funky-ass guests of ours. Like, yo, post and do your shit. I bet you Mr. Martin went out there and did exactly what he needed to do, word. Which I appreciate. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Game Face, he was pushing it on Twitter. I saw that much.
No, I mean, all right.
But then again, he was just like retweeting what I was retweeting. He did post something. He did say, let me see if I can find that shit. He did say some shit on Twitter.
I got you. All right. So finish number one, and I'll tell you what my kind of animus is towards guests. I've thought about it, not recently, but a while now. I just never told you. Then I explained. So what was the other one that was on there?
Hold up. Mr. Gameface Lee on Twitter, he put, it's always a blessing to break bread with real ones on the pod. Be sure to catch the latest episode of The Culture with Jeff and Ant as we discuss the culture's influence on the NBA. Mm-hmm. All right, so the number one was the Joe Rogan. So the number fifth episode, most listened to episode for us last year was You Can't Touch This. And I don't even remember what we were talking about in that episode. But that was the title. You Can't Touch This.
It's not that I dislike guests. It's not that I dislike them.
Yeah, you do.
No. I honestly, it's not that. I swear to Christ, it's not that. It really comes down to the fact that I want people to do so, to have a conversation and discussion and move forward like that. A lot of people let's come in and kind of like start rambling about themselves, which is fine. But to a degree, some of them, not all, some, and if you think I'm talking about you, fuck you, go a little bit too far. Like, what was surprising to me on the top five that came up last year, because I thought it was probably one of the better ones that we did, because he's such a good guest, like the DC Glenn one. That surprisingly ended up in the top five, you know what I mean?
But that wasn't last year, though. I think that was the year before.
That's 2021, right?
Yeah.
I'm talking about 2022. Jesus Christ. That's how long my brain has not been working. But I like when you come out and you say something worthwhile, but you're also interacting with, like, us. Mm-hmm. Some people don't interact with us. Some people, like, they just start talking for the sake of talking. And I'd be like, all right, dog, I get it. You got to shut the fuck up now, because you, like, we want to carry on to some other shit and just start rambling on and on. And it's charming to a degree, because I know they really have something to say about themselves and they really want to kind of break it down. And really, really, really get the shit off of their chest. But a fair amount of time, it's like, do we really need to have this conversation about this shit right now? And I'm like, in all honesty, no. That's why I really just don't really like talking to them. No offense to people. I enjoy talking to people. But sometimes when they get on that little rambling shit like that, and I think we've got to kind of do a better job at it, like just kind of slowing them down and stopping them. That's really the bigger problem. Outside of that, everything else is just fine with me.
Well, most guests, when they come on a podcast, it's because they got something that they want to promote, right? You know what I'm saying? So they a lot of them tend to just want to just talk about themselves and whatever they're selling, their book, their website, their own podcast, you know, whatever it is. And they just want to get people to go to that.
Bro, the next time we're going to get them 5 minutes, 7 minutes. Seven sounds like a nice round number.
To promote?
7 minutes to just, here's your window to talk all the shit you need to talk. Get it out the way, say what you need to say, do what you got to do, then everything's going to be fine. But until then, nah, don't do that.
And then the final stats that we have are the most popular cities that our show was listened to. again, this was surprising. Check this out. The most popular city was Los Angeles. Los Angeles, California.
Okay.
I don't even know anybody in Los Angeles.
Don't matter. The internet's everywhere.
You know what I'm saying? The mm-hmm. furthest west we go is Mikey Shee, and he's in what, Portland?
Mm-hmm. That's the Pacific Northwest.
And shit. Portland ain't even on this list, so fuck you, Mikey Shee.
No, you know what it is? Got to send Mikey some more cars so you can stick him in the gym. Or
Portland is not even on this list, bro. It goes like this. Los Angeles, number one. Then it's mm-hmm. Dallas, Texas, mm-hmm. number two. Then it's Chicago, Illinois. Mm-hmm. Then it's Houston, Texas. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, it's Seattle, Washington. And I guess Mikey Shee's close enough right, to Seattle.
So you about to shit on
and
Mike.
I do have family out there. I have a cousin out there, too.
Right.
In so Spokane,
Washington. You shitting on Mike, and it's like in the area. So you probably shouldn't do that, man.
I was surprised that there's no Florida cities here. You know what I'm saying? We have listenership in Florida. I thought the majority of our listenership was in Florida. I guess I was wrong.
I think the thing is that you're going to get more where there's more populated places, and the places that you name are extremely populated. You're rarely if ever going to get on New York because there's so many people posted here and so many podcasts and so many shows and whatever.
Yeah, but that's where we're at.
But large places like that,
we're here.
Get shit off. Yeah, we are.
So I was surprised. Right. So you would think that, you know, at least our friends and family all make up New York, New Jersey.
I mean,
the tri-state area. I figured that one of them states would be there. But New York ain't in it. New Jersey ain't in it. Florida ain't in it.
The thing is that if you didn't know our sports affiliations and didn't know the way that we talk, you probably wouldn't know where the fuck we're from. It's kind of like a dead giveaway because we know it's where we are. It's what happens. So if we get on like that, we start talking and like we realize like, okay, where are these people from? So on and so forth. As a matter of fact, let me be blunt about this. I don't give a shit. I'm just glad that y'all listening in. Like the time and effort and hours that we put into it, like, can't say nothing more than thank you, and that it's appreciated, that it matters, that we try to give you good content whenever we get on here to get to talking about things that's going on in the world. So to have y'all do that and have y'all to be so, you know, a part of this and so on and so forth. Like I said, it's 2023. We're just kind of keep cranking it out, kind of keep trying to do better and figuring out where to go forward with this. And right now, all I can say really, you know, is thank you.
For real. But the one thing, sadly and unfortunately, that these geographical numbers taught me is that I think this is true most of the time for any business venture, anything that you got going on, that the majority of your supporters are not going to be friends and family.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Like I found that family, you know what I mean? I don't know, for whatever reason, like they just don't care. They hate, like. You know, maybe we're just not their cup of tea. You know, I know this podcast ain't for everybody. You know what I'm saying? We come in here ranting, cursing, talking about topics that people might not be interested in. I get that. But you would expect that, you know what I'm saying? The majority of your listeners would be friends and family, right?
No.
Me honestly. So when I saw the geographical stats of, you know, where we're listened to the most, and I didn't see New Jersey, I didn't see New York, I didn't see Florida up there. This is where the majority of my family is and my, you know, my friends. I was like, oh, shit. Like opens your eyes a little bit. You know what I mean? And the last time that I felt that was when I published my book, you know, my poetry mm-hmm. book that I published way back in like 2009, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And the majority of the sales did not come from friends and family. You know what I'm saying?
That's
fine. It came from either coworkers, random people online, yeah. Whatever. Like, you know what yeah. I mean?
Because you're not making this shit for your friends and family. You're making this for a demographic.
Same thing about but you would think that your friends and family would be quick to support you. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Nah.
Maybe I give people too much credit, or maybe I try to see people through my eye, like the way I would be. You know what I mean? Like if you came out with anything, whether I could relate to it or not, I'm a support. Like, oh, shit, Anthony wrote a book. Oh, shit, Anthony got this show. I'm going to check it out because that's my man's. You know what I mean?
Right. But it kind of comes down to this. Even if I want to support it, it's okay. amongst Black people, they have this tendency to like to raise money for like trips or whatever it might be. They sell dinners, right? You pick a side. It might be ribs. It might be fried chicken. It might be fried fish. It might be whatever, macaroni and cheese sides. Blah blah blah. Like they make them, they sell them, they make money, they so on and so forth. It might pay for a trip or might do something for them, or they might need like some additional assistance. So they do this to kind of get by, right? I've known many people who have sold dinners or whatever it might be. But have I bought it from every single one of them? Abso-fucking-lutely not, because I know you can't cook. And I'd rather just give you the money than buy the shit and go forward like that, because I know your shit ain't shit. And I understand it might be offensive to some people, but you got to be honest about it. You know good and damn well, some people just can't do certain things. You probably shouldn't allow to do it. You're taking offense to it in regards to like, well, why wasn't friends and family doing it? Like, that's kind of a closed loop. Cause like I said, they're going to buy it once and then that's it. But other people that are interested in your works or in this, you want the randomized person to do it. Cause I know people who have listened to this and have heard it. And then someone else was listening to him and said, what were you listening to? Then they tell them. It works better that way. Amongst your friends and family, that's a very closed off circle because it doesn't go anywhere beyond that. Because they're going to go from your friend to your family, and they're probably already have a connection somehow. Your friends know your friends, your family know your family. It doesn't go anywhere. You want to go beyond that. You want to reach the people where you don't think is going to reach. That's why the most surprising fact, you left all of that information on the board. The thing that kind of caught your attention the most, like we were listening to in 80 countries, that, yeah, that matters because it's somewhere where we're not supposed to have any kind of footprint or foothold into, but they're hearing it. So friends and family, that's great. But the fact that people that you're never going to see, you're never going to meet, but took the time out of it to just listen to this thing, I mean, it's important. And I get how you would feel a particular way, but I wouldn't feel too beat up about it because that means you have a greater like circle of influence than you possibly ever even imagined, thinking that we're actually being listened to by people out of this state, out of this country, literally. So it makes a difference. The fact that we even got to that point from where we started, it's a big fucking shift.
Yeah, I don't want to spend too much time on this topic because it is, we could probably do a whole other episode about this. But since we're on the topic, it reminds me also of, you know, when my son was selling, you know, whatever, the candies or the chocolate. You know how they make the kids sell whatever to fundraise money for the school and in the kindergarten.
Yeah. Did I buy that shit?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So everything is digital now. Everything, you know, you don't go around handing out the paper.
Oh, right.
So I sent.
Oh, yeah. The fucking thing. Yeah. I remember. Okay.
Yeah. You just donated money. You ain't even want no candy.
Yeah. Fuck them kids. Yeah. Take the money.
So I sent everybody I knew in the entire world. I sent everybody the link. Right. Mm-hmm. And if I tell you the amount of family, bro, that just ignored the link or that said, oh, I'll take a look at it later and never responded back was alarming to me. It's for my fucking 5-year-old son. You know what I'm saying? For him to raise money for his school, for them to be able to supply shit for him.
This is not going to make family listen more. Just shit.
The majority. And he ended up raising something like $130. And the majority of that shit, besides me buying and my wife buying shit for him, besides us, the majority of the shit was friends mm-hmm. and coworkers.
Yeah.
With a handful of relatives.
Yes. Why? I'm honestly confused. Why are you shocked by this?
I don't know. I mean, we had this and we talked about family in the Patreon exclusive opening up series. And I don't know. I guess I shouldn't. I guess at this stage in my life, almost 40, 2023, okay. I shouldn't be surprised at anything that you get from family, so-called. Right. You know what I mean? You should expect the worst now from people, I guess, at this point.
No. I'm going to break you off. A very important piece of advice, and I want you to hear me clearly, okay? When it comes to family, you are concerned about your own, and I mean immediate family. Outside of that, do not expect anything from anyone outside of the immediacy. Anything. You're only setting yourself up for disappointment. The reason why I can say this so clearly, because as you get older, your friends, your cousins, everything else like that, they get older. they have kids that they got to do shit for them and their families and so on and so forth. It starts to expand. It's not small as you thought it was when you were younger. If it's not for the immediate family, don't worry about it. Don't take offense. Don't get hurt over it. Don't be bothered by it, because it's like you're wasting all this energy getting mad about people that you ain't seen or talked with or hung around with for a long period of time. The ones you should get at are the ones that outside the immediate family, the ones that come around for family events. And when you're there, then you can tell that shit to them right there in their face. Like, I had something for my son. What was going on with that? If they give you a valid reason, if they don't give you a valid reason, just letting them know. But outside that small immediate circle, don't waste your time with anything else, because everyone has their own ideas and opportunities and motives and so on and so forth. And dragging yourself into their shit, just draining more time from your life, and you only got so much left. So don't worry about it. In that small circle, keep everything that's important and that matters to you there. Outside of that, whatever happens.
So those will be the same people when they have a fundraiser and they send you the link, you know what I'm saying? They want you to participate.
You got
and my dumb ass will be the first one cooperating, donating, whatever, for the cause, you know what I'm saying?
Trying to support
and shit. But whatever. Let's move on.
Dog, they send that shit to you. You check your balance. You see how the shit breaking down. Like, do I have anything to spare? Nope. Sorry, can't do it. It'll be all right. Can't do it.
When you think about racist sports cities or towns or states, what comes to mind? What is one of the first?
Alabama.
Excuse me? There's no Alabama teams unless you're talking about college.
Yeah.
Professional sports. Let's talk about professional sports.
Boston.
Boston is the first city that comes to my mind when I think about racist sports towns.
You ever heard what they did to Bill Russell?
Yeah. They called him all type of N-words and threw batteries at him and bananas and shit.
He was on the road one day. They broke into his house, tore his house up, wrote nigger on the wall and shit on his bed.
That's fucking crazy.
When he retired, he never lived in Boston after that. That's why.
But did you see what happened to the New England Patriots recently on their website?
No, I have zero interest to go to the Patriots website. I have not.
Okay. Well, there was a tweet, right? I guess they were trying to reach a million followers, right, on their whatever page.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody with the hashtag I hate N-words, okay, actually with the actual words, you know, spelled out. So wait, I guess, you know, wait, he.
That was their Twitter tag?
That was the hashtag. I hate N-words.
Great. Okay.
The actual word, right?
Got it.
The Patriots go ahead and they tweet out. @IHateNWords, thanks for helping us become the first NFL team with 1 million followers. Hashtag 1 million Patriots. And then there's a picture of a football jersey. Number one on the back, it says, hashtag I hate N-words.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag 1 million Patriots. Thanks, Patriots Nation. Number 1 million Patriots, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Then that was at 6:02 p.m., and then they go ahead and issue an apology several hours later saying, we apologize for the regrettable tweet that went out from our account. Our filtering system failed and we will be more vigilant in the future. Now, I don't know how old this is, but this just came across me. You know, like people were posting this shit on Twitter and I had never seen this shit before, right? We apologize for the regrettable tweet that went out from our account. Our filtering system failed and we will be more vigilant. First of all, our filtering system failed. Why don't they have actual humans sending these tweets out, or, you know what I mean?
Because you got to pay them.
And why is words like the N-word not being captured by your filters or being flagged?
Freedom of speech.
In your algorithm.
N-I-G-G-A-R, it's the nigger family. Family. That's all it is. Because of our ability and our constitutional right to have freedom of speech, you're allowed to say certain things, even things that are violent and incomprehensible to the majority of people. The fact that somebody used that as a hashtag, and the thing that I'm thinking is that it might have been a bot who did that like all these times in a row, kept sending it at him, that eventually like we'll probably get to the million one. Because like I said, you're the millionth person, so the millionth account, let's not say person, because you might be a bot. So someone did that on purpose, and then they apologized for it, and they should have did a better job of it. But like I said, it's been my constant complaint about white people in general. You do something, and then you want to apologize for it. Like, you shouldn't have, you don't have to apologize for something you didn't do in the first place. I'm not going to say sorry for something I didn't do. And like I said, you did that, and you got lazy about it. You got caught, and therefore, that's how you ended up in this predicament. Should they have done better? Fuck yes. But I mean, this happens all the time. I'm so used to it, and it's such a weird thing. What expect me to do? Like, so that bad about it? Nah, shit. That just
so that was circulating online. That shit went viral. This you know that was trending this week on Twitter, and it was just a reminder. Mm-hmm. Just real quick to remind everybody that Boston is still a racist fucking town.
Well, it's because of their history. It's just an easy target. Like if they would have did that anywhere else, I mean, you probably would have gotten the same apology, but it just kind of seems karmic, especially with Boston's history. So yeah, I just
feel like every time I hear an interview with a former player or whatever, and they ask them like, what is the worst town you ever played in? They always say Boston. Like if it's a black player, I feel like you always hear them say, oh, Boston. The fans used to always yell racial slurs at me. You know what I mean? Like I hear it all the time in interviews.
Let me think about that. I'm trying to think about the teams in the South, but the teams in the South are generally in like areas that have a strong minority population. Like if you go to Atlanta or Miami or even like Texas, like Dallas, San Antonio, Houston, like it's a larger population of minorities in those areas. But I think when you think of Boston, just think of white. And it just kind of goes sideways. Portland's white, but they seem kind of progressive, but Boston just doesn't. And I mean, that's more of a slight against Boston and the lack of growth than anything else. I don't know in regards to how the city has done to improve that, if anything else, but this is definitely helping.
Like you come to New York and we're going to yell all kinds of shit at you. We're going to talk about your mom, your ugly ass wife, your kids. We're going to call you a bum. But I've never, you know, and I'm not saying it doesn't happen. You know, I go to at least one Yankee game a year. I go to at least one Knick game a year. I try to go to at least a Giant game a year. And in all the years of me attending games or me watching games on the TV, I've never heard anybody, a fan, yell out a racial slur. Again, I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm sure it does. I'm sure there's isolated incidents. But I feel like Boston is known for that shit, right? Like, you don't hear that in New York. In New York, they'll say, yeah, those fans are wild. They throw shit at you. They'll scream at you. But they don't be like, you N-word, you black bitch. You know what I mean? Like,
do you know why? Saying shit like that. Because you're in the Bronx and you in Queens. You're not making out of that stadium alive. That's them locals. Like, you think you're going to say, like, the N-word in the Bronx and be able to think you're going to make it out of the Grand Concourse and back to your train safely? No.
Shit.
I know your surroundings. Boston like is way more people that are white. And I say not all white people are racist, but for some reason the ones that tend to like go to these sporting events are racist. So it goes a little bit sideways. It's the demographics of the area that kind of make the situation keep happening more and more. So thanks, Dr. King. We're trying, but they out here fucking this up.
It's the racist.
Now, I'm going to bring this up. You tell me if this is racist.
Sure.
Have you seen the new Scooby-Doo character, cast of characters?
Yes.
It's a new Velma series.
Yes.
Okay. So they got the new Velma series, and Velma now is being played by Mindy Kaling. And she's, you know, she's Indian, right?
Yes.
And then we have Shaggy, whose name is Norville, who I had no idea.
Me either.
Is played by Sam Richardson, who's a black brother.
Mm-hmm.
So they got him playing Norville, a.k.a. Shaggy. Daphne is now played by Constance Wu, who's Asian.
Mm-hmm.
And then Fred is still a fucking white dude, played by Glenn Howerton.
Mm-hmm.
So they kept him white.
Great.
So they changed all the other three characters to minorities. And they left this dude you know, the blonde hair, blue eyed, stand up gentleman guy. He's still white. Shaggy's the fucking stoner, so he's now black. Velma's the fucking lesbian, so she's now, you know, black, but she's Indian. Mm-hmm. And then the whore, Daphne, who's the fucking slut of the group, so she's now Asian. Am I wrong? She's the promiscuous one.
Continue.
The whore. Which reminds me, I was watching this shit with my son, bro. They have a Scooby-Doo meets John Cena movie, right? It was like some WWE collaboration with Scooby-Doo, and John Cena's in it as a cartoon character, whatever, his voice. And they got some of the other wrestlers. And Daphne the whole time is like trying to suck this dude off, bro. Like the whole time she's like sweating him, and she's like in love with John Cena, and she's like flirting with him. And I'm like, is this a kid's movie? Like she's being real aggressive, yo. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, is it racist that they made the stoner black, the lesbian Indian, and the slut Asian?
No.
I'm more concerned that they made the stoner black. Like, why can't Fred be the black dude?
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Because ain't nothing wrong with Fred. Why he still got to be white? He's the only one out of this whole crew that's regular.
Right, but regular to what degree?
Just to the societal norms. You know what I mean? The quote unquote societal norms. He's just a regular dude. He wears his little bow tie. It's not even a bow tie. What's that called?
Ascot.
The ascot fucking tie with his little sweater and his collar shirt.
Like, so they kept his tradition.
And he's supposed to be like the leader of the crew and all of this, but he's the white dude. We got the lesbian chick as a minority, the stoner is a minority, and the slut is a minority.
And he kept the white guy still being the same white guy.
He's a white guy, Fred, right, played right. by Glenn Howerton.
Right. I mean, there's nothing wrong with subverting tropes. And I think that this is fine. It's not really a big concern of mine. I think the thing that people worry about, like, it's art, and art can be a lot of things. Racist might be one of them. I think they just want to put people of color in different roles. And it's a cartoon. And like, I think we're kind of at the point that not all cartoons are meant specifically for children. Like, you would you ever show your son Rick and Morty?
No.
Right.
Or Ren and Stimpy or Beavis and Butthead.
Right.
And I love them shits growing up.
Right. But you realize, like, even as a kid, the shit really wasn't for kids, so kids really shouldn't be watching.
Dumb shits had no business being on Nickelodeon at all. None of them shits.
Right. I mean, the Scooby-Doo mysteries are still out there for them to watch that. This is just something that they were doing different. Apparently, a lot of people hate it or a lot of people love it. Like, this is one of those things where there is no middle. It's not like, it's good. Either you like, I fucks with this, or I don't fucks with this. That's kind of how this goes. The recasting of things, I don't think is necessarily a bad. I haven't really gotten into it yet. I wonder what they're going to do with Scooby. Like, is Scooby even going to be
a dog? I don't know. It comes out. I don't think it's come out yet. It's coming out on HBO. So it's going to be probably, I'm assuming if it's on HBO, it's going to be adult themed.
Yeah, so it's on HBO Max now.
Oh, it's already up?
Yeah, it's on Max. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, so if they're going to, I wonder what the rating is. If it's going to be more adult oriented, then you know Daphne's going to take it to a next level of sluttiness.
From what I've heard, yeah.
She's going to be tossing pussy left and right.
I don't know if they're going to show the visuals of it, but I'm going to assume. I think that anything that kind of subverts what we used to believe to be true is always going to cause some kind of reaction. Everyone always probably thought that Velma was probably gay.
Right. But she wasn't out there flirting with all the women and checking chicks out. You know what I mean?
Right.
Grabbing asses and shit.
Why can't gay folk be gay folk? If you want to be gay, go ahead and be gay. Ain't nobody stopping you. The only reason that stopped us because the way cartoons were done back then, they wasn't going to show all that because we always made the assumption that
right.
You know, Shaggy was high. We made the assumption that she was gay. We made the assumption that, you know, the white guy's a smart one. And we made the assumption that the redhead was promiscuous.
Promiscuous.
Right. They never out and out said it, but they kind of led us down a particular path that it kind of made our minds focus that probably are. But we don't know. Like, Shaggy doesn't necessarily have to be a pothead. Shaggy could just be some dirty ass white boy. That just his best friend's a dog. He has nothing else better to do in his life besides hang out with the van with him and his dog. And the reason that he has the van because he has nowhere to live because he's a dusty white boy. No, we put upon the fact because of the way they drew him, the way he talked, the way he did, the way he ate, that he's probably a pothead. And that the way this girl dresses and the way she acts around women and everything else, she's probably gay. And you're probably a whore and you're probably a bright, smart, young white man. Now, we twist it all up and all of a sudden people get mad at that. Like, we're going off the assumption that you guys have already had, like, disregarding color or anything else like that. You change the character, you're still getting to the base essence of it. You change, I said, Shaggy to black, Asian, Indian, whatever else it might be. Still, you're still going to see him and think of him as like this dude who has nothing else to do but get high all day. Velma, now she's out and out gay when you always thought she was gay. You just changed the character. Now you have a problem with it. You already had these assumptions. Now they're verifying those assumptions. Now you're mad at the assumptions that you already have. And then people get pissed off by that. That never made sense to me. Like, okay. Like, will I check it out now? Now I'm interested. Like, okay. So now they're going to try to take the same thing that I already knew and just switch it up a little bit. Okay. Does it mean I'm going to be interested in it? I have no idea, but at least I give it a shot. But is it racist? No. I think because of just kind of the person I am, I just think of it as you're giving people of color opportunities to play these very unique characters. I don't think of it as racist. I mean, people have taken on worse jobs or better jobs. I don't even know what kind of job they're doing. I don't know how good this is or how it's not going to be. But again, I'm going to check it out. But do I believe that it's racist? Nah. These are just opportunities. You take them while they're there. They're all comedians. They're all friends. They got this thing to come about and make this happen. So, fuck it. Go ahead and do it.
Speaking of racism, black-on-black crime, have you ever wondered why Dominicans hate Haitians?
Besides the fact y'all put the motherfuckers on the other side of the island? No.
Because I don't think a lot of people notice. We share a fucking island with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they don't get along.
Because y'all got the resorts.
We got the Punta Canas.
Yeah, y'all got all the good beach. That's all. And the rocky shit.
But the real reason why we don't fuck with them is because back in the 19th century, they were successful at invading us, colonizing us, enslaving us, and occupying us for over 20 years. This was back in 1820s. It actually lasted from 1822 to 1844. It goes like this. The Haitian occupations, suppression of Dominican culture, including the Spanish language and Catholic religion, forceful redistribution of Dominican wealth, and strict policies based on labor led to growing resentment that culminated in a Dominican movement for national independence, which was attained in February of 1844. So shout out to Wyclef Jean, but we don't really fuck with you, man. Because, you know, when we were just starting to be a little bit free from all the bullshit, all the European bullshit and all the Anglo-Saxon bullshit. Here came these motherfuckers. When we were at our most vulnerable. We had no weapons.
I'm guessing you ain't got Haitian friends.
Yeah, we had no weapons. Our military was laughable. They just came in and fucked us up. Try to take Haitian over the whole island. They were like, we take it. We run this bitch.
Your Haitian friends going to fuck you up.
I don't know any Haitians. Do you?
I could tell. I know Haitians. I do. I know you don't because you said that shit around them. They're going to swing on you, boy.
I have a coworker who has a Haitian boyfriend or husband.
Don't bring that. Do
but
not
I doubt he's
this
listening to this shit.
Don't matter. Do not bring this shit up around them unless you willing to square up.
But now I don't got no problems with Haitians. I'm just telling you the history of why, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There's been a 100-year-long battle between these countries. More than 100 years.
Mm.
And why they don't fuck with each other, even though they share an island.
Mm.
And the Haitians be like, hey, man, just move on, man. We wasn't really trying to occupy y'all, you know. We was trying to help you out.
Mm-hmm.
They look at it as them trying to help out and trying to unify the island. By taking over the motherfucker.
Okay, so what you're saying is that y'all are the aggrieved and Haitians are acting like white people.
Correct.
Got it. Okay, so Haitians are acting like white people. But then y'all won, and now y'all acting like white people.
Are we?
Mm.
We still black as shit.
Yeah, but y'all trying to keep niggas on the other side of the island now, ain't you?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, Let's extend this resort shit all
the way. Get that border wall up ASAP. Get that border
Y'all keep y'all black ass on the other side of that wall. Y'all wouldn't have wars. Y'all keep that shit right over there. Do not bring that shit over here. Y'all have made
some racist shit.
Y'all made it very, very clear that you don't fuck with Haitian people like that, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense because both you guys understand depression. If you kind of have a general grounds upon that, there's some places to move on and grow from that. But y'all still want to bang back and forth. Like, the reason y'all could pop shit like the Haiti now, because you know, like it's a kind of a broken country. So therefore, like, y'all not going to start in a war because y'all can't really afford to go to war to try to do this shit again. So we cool. But
right.
from my view, both of you motherfuckers need help every time hurricane season come around. Y'all can help each other. But like, nah, we'll wait, you know, whatever to come. You know, where I think it should be more of a unified kind of place, especially with everything else going on like that. It's so strange that all this shit from the past has such an effect in the future where you still can't get along for some shit that happened so long ago. And I get it. The dominance of one people, one culture over another will absolutely leave a bad taste in your mouth. I mean, quite simply, look at Israel. But more than anything else, it kind of comes down to, like, especially like with hate, like, God damn, man, we've been doing this shit so long. Like, don't you think both of us will be better if we can just combine these resources instead of just like, nah, send the shit here, don't send it there. It's so weird that it's come down to that. Yeah, but it's no disagreement or issue for me regards to either culture. I'm friends with people who are Haitian. I'm friends with people who are Dominican. I generally choose not to have that conversation with them about that because I know for them, not specifically them, but more like their family, like older people, like their grandparents or some shit like that, it brings up very like bitter feelings. So it's something that I actively avoid. But I'm like, both of y'all have suffered in one way or another under the crush of someone else's ideology. Like, now that you're past that, can't we get past this? But I mean, sometimes that shit just carries on though. It befuddles me sometimes. I don't find it weird. I get a clear understanding of why that feeling would be, but it's like, fuck, we still carrying this shit on, man? That's amazing to me.
Alright, but let's end the show with a topic that you wanted to quickly touch on.
Is it quickly though? Think about this shit, but go ahead and bring it up. Go ahead. I hear you. Go ahead. Come on.
We're talking about the Rolling Stones top 200 singers of all time list that they just dropped. And the shit is blasphemous, if you ask me. It might be even racist.
No, it's more like I knew that they had to sprinkle some particular white people in there. I don't like the placement of said white people, but they had to be placed in there.
Like, okay, this is the top 200. They got Brandy at 193. And she's not the best singer of all time. I'm not saying that. But they got her at 193. And then they have somebody like by the name of Jungkook higher than her.
Right. We can't be racist. We can't be racist.
But who the fuck is Anoni at 192?
Someone that you're just not familiar with. But again, there are, like, if Brandy's at 193, there are like 192 best singers ahead of her.
I'm not saying they don't have black people on this list. They definitely do. It's just the placement of said black people.
Yeah. It's like, okay, like 190 Frank Ocean. I think Brandy's a better singer than Frank Ocean, but I think Frank's had a better career.
Right.
Fela Kuti's 180.
They got Alicia Keys at 185. Alicia Keys got some pipes. Let's not mistake that shit. But then they got Karen O above her. I don't know about that.
They got Jasmine Sullivan 182. Now, Jasmine Sullivan can sing her ass off. But is she
yep.
Should she be any higher than that? No, she just hasn't had the kind of career outside of her last album where you're just like,
yeah, but yeah. this ain't the list of best careers though, brother. This is the list of best singers.
Correct. But
Bob Seger, 181.
Right.
He's above all the black people that we just mentioned.
But again, but
they got SZA at 180. Okay.
But you should put if you're singing, you should put Jasmine Sullivan above her. But if you're thinking of career, SZA goes above Jasmine Sullivan.
Mm-hmm.
It's not purely vocal ability. It's that it's your career, basically your impact, so on and so forth. Fuck all that.
Hold on. I'm not there yet. I'm surprised they got Juan Gabriel on here. 172.
Why are you surprised?
Good Mexican singer. When I think of Rolling Stones, I'm thinking this shit gonna be super racist. I wasn't expecting no Spanish motherfuckers. They got Selena on here too. They got Mark Anthony, 167.
It should just be singers. Yeah. Keep going.
bunch of white people I don't know. Bunch of these motherfuckers. Francois Hardy. Brenda Lee at 161.
Keep going.
Mercedes Sosa. She might be Spanish. Mississippi John Hurt. That's a black gentleman.
Yes.
Carrie Underwood made the list. She's 158. Robert Smith. George Strait.
White people.
I can't fuck with country music. No offense. Corin Tucker, 155.
You never listen to country music? Country music is great.
Yeah, I can't fuck with it, man. I'm sorry.
It's touching, man. I'm not saying it should be in your playlist, but.
All right, let's get to the nitty gritty of this shit, man. Here we go. I'm in the 150s. Martha Reeves, 151. Get to the one you want to rant about.
Look, just go to the top 20. Let me know you're there. You there?
Nah.
Okay, take it down.
My shit acting up. Pull it up.
All right. So 20 is Marvin Gaye. Got no problem with that.
20 is Marvin Gaye.
20 Marvin Gaye. 19, Frank Sinatra. Got no problem with that. 18, Celia Cruz. Got no problem with that. 17, I got a problem with. 17's Elvis.
He really known as a singer, though, or as an entertainer?
And my thing is that you can have Elvis or you can have Frank. You can have both. One or the other, not both. But I think this is the whole totality of a career kind of thing. But I'm like, nah, I don't think Elvis should be 17. I don't think he should be 17. So what they're saying that all the singers ahead of this should be better than Elvis, which is going to be logical, which I approve of. Prince is 16. Bob Dylan's 15. I'm fine with Bob. Freddie Mercury absolutely should be there. 13's Patsy Cline. Again, country, but you're not really big at that. But Patsy Cline's a great singer. I don't think John Lennon should be there, but he's 12. Never thought of John Lennon as a great singer. They made great music at the Beatles, but it's neither here nor there. Little Richard's 11. Al Green's 10. Otis Redding's 9. I got a problem with this one. At number 8 is Beyonce. No, she doesn't deserve to be there. Love her. A really good singer. But is she better than Marvin Gaye or Otis Redding or Al Green? Absolutely not. This is speaking from a black man. 7, Stevie Wonder. 6, Ray Charles. I'm cool with that. 5 is Mariah Carey. 4 is Billie Holiday. 3, Sam Cooke. 2, Whitney. And 1 is Aretha Franklin. Now, the reason why I wanted to bring this up, because I know you didn't quite look through this list the way that I did. Now, they have these 200 singers there, right? Guess who's not on the list?
At all?
Mm-hmm.
Who?
I'll give you 5 guesses. You can throw out any name. I'm almost certain that you won't catch it unless you
look. What number? No. What number's Mariah?
Mariah, I believe she should be in the top 40, I believe.
She should be. She should be in the top 10. Where is Whitney?
She's 2.
Okay. And who you said was 1?
Mariah's 5. I think Mariah was 5. Whitney is 2. And Aretha Franklin's 1.
And where's Celine Dion at?
She's not on here at all.
Celine Dion is not on this list.
She's not on this list at all.
Wow. She's in my top 5 of all time.
She's not on this list at of the two.
Celine Dion is not on this list.
You sitting here bitching about Brandy and SZA and all these other random white people. Celine Dion is not on this list at all.
Okay, so this is not even a racist list. This is just dumb. This is just a dumb list. I take back any racism about this list. It has nothing to do with racism.
My whole thing is
it's just irrelevant.
How do you do a top 200 and you completely miss that name? Like, how?
She's one of the greatest voices of all time, bro.
And honestly, might have the most famous song of all time.
The Titanic shit?
Yeah.
And then they had Beyonce at what?
8.
25? Beyonce was 8? I thought she was in the 20s. Okay, so Beyonce's 8, and then they had Michael Jackson at like 85, 86, right?
Yeah, some shit like that.
Which to me is blasphemy. I understand that he's known more as an entertainer, as a dancer and shit. Go listen to some old Michael Jackson shit, bro. The motherfucker could sing. Go listen to some Jackson 5 shit. Like, as he got older, yeah, he went away from, like, you know what I mean, actually singing to more of being a performer. But that doesn't mean he couldn't sing.
Yeah, see, this is...
You know, he started doing that. He started doing all that bullshit, so people was like, all right, he's not really a singer no more. He's now an entertainer. He's a dancer. He's a choreographer. He's all of this other shit. You go listen to some Jackson 5 shit, and his voice is remarkable.
It don't make a fucking difference. You can dance and flip and do all of that shit. If you can sing, it don't matter. If you can dance and do all of the above, you know what you are? A dancer. You're not a singer. Michael's an amazing singer. And this is what Rolling Stone said. This list was compiled by staff and key contributors at Rolling Stone, was judged on originality, influence, the depth of an artist's catalog, and the breadth of their musical legacy. That's the reason why they got, that's the reason why they got like fucking Elvis Presley so high, but he really didn't deserve to be there. But the whole thing.
But how is Michael Jackson not that high then? If Elvis Presley's high, how come Michael Jackson ain't high?
Right. If they're using that as a baseline, it should be way above that, period.
To this day, Thriller is still the best selling album of all time. Still.
They got the man at 86.
Like, get the fuck out of here. He's not on it. See, that's why these lists are irrelevant to me, man.
Then they talk about influence. Madonna's not on there. Jennifer Hudson. I think
Jennifer Hudson is not on it.
Nope, Nat King Cole's not on it, and I think Janet Jackson's not on it either.
Where's Frank Sinatra at?
I think like 17, 18.
You see? But what about like guys like Usher?
They're on it somewhere. Like, yeah. Because like it's 200, and I ain't scrolling through this whole fucking thing. So I've been talking about it.
They're somewhere. You got to look. You got to search for these motherfuckers, though.
Let's see. I think Usher, hold on. I think he might have been 100. I think I'm just
If we're talking about purely singing, Celine Dion needs to be in the top five automatically. If we're talking about just the what's the word I'm trying to say, bro?
Totality.
The totality.
Just skip the fucking word, boy.
Of a fucking career. If we're talking about the totality of a career, Michael Jackson has to be in the top five.
Usher's 97.
If we're talking about just voices, he still needs to be higher than 80-something. He still needs to be in the top maybe 20 or 30. I know they had Selena up there. What number was Selena? Because that girl could sing.
I got to find it. Usher was 97.
You need to find me Selena.
Selena, 89.
Because where was it?
89.
She needs to be higher than that.
She's 89.
I don't care if the mainstream America ain't know who she was at the time of her death or none of this shit. The girl could sing.
I know, but see.
And in the Latin community, she was a big deal.
I know, but you can't say that. People are like, I don't fuck with country singers. Like, you ain't heard. Just because you ain't heard of them.
I don't, but I'm not saying that they shouldn't be on the list. If they could sing, they could be on the list. That's fine. I'm not checking for them.
Diana Ross, 87. Michael's 86. Johnny Cash is 85.
You got Michael Jackson right next to Diana Ross on the list. That's blasphemy.
Right. And could they, remember all this shit about.
And I'm not taking away nothing away from Diana.
No, because they're saying like about like their musical, their industry, their legacy, their impact. They got Michael at that number. They got Amy Winehouse at 83. And
Get the fuck out of here. And she had a shortened career, bro.
Harris, Janis Joplin's at 78.
Get the fuck out of here, bro. Where is. All right, check this out. Where is James Brown?
He got to be above the homeless. So Wilson Pickett, 76. D'Angelo, 75. Patti LaBelle, 74.
Get the fuck. Hector this LeBeau, list is crazy.
73. Muddy. I'm trying to find him. Give me a second. I'm just scrolling through. And
where is James Brown? Where's the brother James Brown at?
They got Rihanna at 68. I'm like, come on now.
That's crazy. Is that because she's a billionaire? Let's put her in here because she's really successful.
It's kind of sort of.
And none of these people, there's not one single person on this list that was more famous or more successful than Michael Jackson. Not one.
Barry White's 56, Tina Turner 55, Willie Nelson's 54, wow. Mick Jagger's 52, Sade is 51. They really do love Sade. Sade. Like that.
I fuck with Sade.
I know, but I'm like, she does this thing like she released an album, she'd be like out for like 8 years, release some shit, be out for a little while, release some shit, I'd see y'all later. Like Sade is good for that. I'm still looking for.
Find out where James Brown is and tell me if Lauryn Hill is on this list.
And the other part that pisses me off, like they got this list designed stupid. Like it should be like they have the thing we got to click on the like they break it down into sections and the next section goes and the next section goes. I'm like, nigga, I'm just trying to get to one section. Toni Braxton was 48, so James got to be above her. Mavis Staples, James Brown is 44.
James Brown is 44. Okay. 44. Would you have him? I mean, he's not a better entertainer than Michael Jackson.
No.
Maybe
no.
A better singer, maybe.
No, you can flip-flop Michael and James.
And James.
Because James influenced Michael, not the other way around. Like, Michael got that whole thing is the James Brown show. The hair, the outfits, the dancing, that's James. That he's the godfather soul for a particular reason. He influenced.
Is Lauryn Hill on this list? I know she's hip hop, but she's also a singer. She was a damn good one too.
If she is, she's probably going to be lower. But I gotta find her.
She's gonna be right.
Yeah,
you mean high on the list, like in the 190s or some shit? Right?
No, hell no. Yeah, like yeah. I mean like that. No. The album. Yeah. I'm trying to find a shorter list, and they don't really break it down like that. I find it. I'm very comfortable by saying the way they got this shit going, she's on here somewhere. I just can't find her number. Hold on. This is Luciano Russell. Christina Aguilera is 141. I know you're going to get mad, get out your system right now.
Like Christina. She can sing, man. The girl can sing. She's in my top five. But the thing is about this list
136
is they have to.
Lauryn Hill is 136.
Lauryn is 136?
Yeah.
But the thing about these lists, any kind of list, they have to define what the criteria are. You know, when me and you do lists, we usually break down what we're looking for. Mm-hmm. Like, we're looking for lyrics, we're looking for this, we're looking for whatever, longevity, right. Whatever. They have to identify, they have to define what the fucking terms of being on this list are. You can't just throw a list of best singers and then just have random people on this shit and not have Celine Dion on and have Michael Jackson at 86. Like, are you looking at the whole career? Are we looking at how much record sales they, you know, we're looking at how, you know, what the impact of their, of, you know what I mean, their influence? Can they actually sing? Like, what are we looking at? Because this list sounds crazy to me.
That's a very interesting proposition. Give me one moment.
You know what I'm saying? If we're talking about, like, if we do a list of rappers and we talk about the most successful rappers, yeah, you got to put Eminem. He's going to be number one because he's the literally, you know, technically the most successful rapper of all time. He sold the most albums, et cetera. He's made the most money. But if we're talking about the best storytellers or the best lyrical or the best beats or whatever, then, you know, the list is going to look different.
Yeah, thanks, buddy. I found somebody got it. Okay. They left off R. Kelly, too.
Well, yeah, we're not fucking
with R. Kelly. But again, we're just talking about music and everything else today. It's hard to do it without R. Kelly, but they did it because, again, that shows your own personal biases. Like,
But there's a stigma, so you know they're not going to mention him. There's a stigma behind his name, so they're just going to leave him off. And I'm sure somebody brought him up when they was in a meeting having this conversation. Somebody brought him up, and then the head of the department was like, nah, we're going to stay away from him.
Let's see.
We're not even going to bring that up.
Somebody put this up so I can do it this way. The reason why I had issues with, like, with other things is, like, because I think that she means a lot to a particular amount of people, but, like, they had Mary J. Blige at 25. I'm like, no. No,
she's great. No. She's great. But there's people in the 180s that are better singers than her.
She can't sing like that, but she had a better career, which I understand. Let's just think of people. Shaka,
okay, so Shaka. If we're talking about better careers, you still haven't explained to me why is Michael Jackson 86?
I didn't do the fucking list. I ain't got to explain shit. I don't know. He shouldn't be that low. He should be at least.
Was he famous? Check. He's the most famous on the list. Was he rich? Check.
Was he one of the
best? Influence? Check.
Best singers? Yes. Yeah.
Entertainment? Yeah. Check. Yeah. I mean, he's not the best singer on the list. I'm not saying that, like, vocally.
Again, that's.
But he was a very good one.
You can get Elvis right the fuck up on out of here and just give Michael that spot.
I have no problem with flip-flopping, yeah, MJ with fucking, with Elvis. And by the way, we ain't even mentioned, rest in peace to Elvis's only daughter, Lisa Marie, who just fucking passed away. And she died the same way he did, yo, with a heart attack.
That's a shame, man. His only child. Only child.
And then this is the thing I hate, too. I mean, you know, you get educated, but when somebody dies, you start finding out shit that you had no idea knowing. You never knew. Like, I thought she had no kids. She had, like, 4 kids. Mm-hmm. I knew she was married to Michael for a couple years, but I had no idea she was also married to Nicolas Cage. She was married to Nicolas Cage for, like, 4 months.
You ever notice famous people always marry other famous people? I know.
Yeah, but it doesn't work, I don't think. I think it works better if you marry a regular person.
But they never do. No, because didn't J-Lo try that with the pool boy? That shit ain't work.
Yeah, J-Lo tried with everybody. Ain't no, you can't, she can't do nothing. There's nothing you could do with J-Lo. I'm sorry.
No, but I'm
you could try regular person, famous person, singer, actor. It don't matter who she dates. But, it's not working
But
out.
She happy now. She like, but at least you know.
Is she?
I don't see her out here wilding.
Or you forget that she's already was engaged to Ben years ago and broke up.
Yeah, but it wasn't their time. They probably would have been together, but some people just, I think maybe just wasn't ready or mature for it. Like,
she done tried blacks, whites, Hispanics, rappers, singers, actors. Her next person might be a female.
It won't be next.
I'm just throwing that out there.
It won't be next person. I think she'll stay with Ben to the end.
We could put money right now. We could put money right on the air.
50?
This will not be J-Lo's final relationship.
50?
We could do $50.
50 sounds fair. All right, cool.
She might date women after this.
Is she not?
She might go shoot her shot with like Michelle Rodriguez or somebody that.
She not leaving Ben. Ben ain't leaving her. They love each other.
Get the fuck out of here. I want my money, man. $50. I want my money.
Hold up. Don't treat me like them fantasy niggas. I pay up, bro. Calm down.
I want my money.
I pay up. Hold up. I ain't none of them fantasy niggas. I give you my bread. My word is bond. They be like, I ain't got yo, man. Taxes coming out. Yo, give me a minute. Let me put the check into the savings and the savings into the check and I give you money. No. No, we making this bet. And when I have it, I'll pay. Has there ever been a time that we made a bet and I didn't pay pretty much damn near right away?
No.
When you won that tips bet, didn't I sell you literally immediately? Like, tip one, correct. Here's your money. I don't ask bet boy. I pay up.
Conversely, I pay up too.
Yeah, I didn't say you did, but you jumped to me like, I want my money. Like, you going to have
And for whatever reason, if I can't pay up with that same instance, I'll call you. And I'll be like, yo, you got to give me a couple hours or you got to give me till tomorrow. I got to move some money around. You know, whatever the excuse is, but I call you right away.
Tell you, boy, saves into the checkers. I got to move some money over here. They didn't clear it yet.
Hey, I got mad different accounts, man. I got to move some shit around sometimes.
Right, and I'll be like, I'll give you 48 hours. Like, it don't take 2 weeks to clear $20. Nah, it don't. Yo, give me my money, son. And don't let me see you on Facebook talking about I'm blessed. No, you about to be blessed by these hands. Give me my money. You lost.
Fans ain't that clear. The worst, yo? Ain't that the worst? Ain't that the worst when somebody owe you money and you see them online post, I got me these new Jordans exclusive shit. Limited edition, one of five. Where you get that money from?
Boy, I'll take them shits right the fuck off your feet. Sell them shits, get my money out of and give you the rest. Like, here's the remains of your proceeds minus what you owe me. Figure it out. I be hating that, though. But like, how you?
I just caught me a new PlayStation 5, yo.
The funny one is when someone's like, I'm all fucked up. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do A, B, C. I just want to know, he's like, give me a little loan, like $100, $150. I just got to try to get by. I'd be like, and it pulls in your heart. Be like, all right, dog, cool. Here you go. Then 2 weeks later, be like, I'm living, having the time of my life in Cancun. You're like, motherfucker.
On my dime.
I financed your trip. You broke motherfucker, you. Woo!
I need you to bring me back a souvenir and my money.
Dog, see, and the
charge of interest.
But you'd be fighting a petty gene because you could just like be calm and be like, I guess the $150 I gave you really helped out. They're probably going to delete it real quick. So ain't nobody going to see it. But that's the way people are, man. But no, you deal straight up. I deal straight up. So it's not a problem. I'm not worried about that. And the thing is that I'm not going to collect that no time soon because either you or I will be dead or one of them are going. Okay, so let's put a caveat in this. So we mean divorce, correct?
Are they legally married?
Yes.
Yeah, they're gonna break up. They're gonna break up at some point in time.
Not if some. So if something tragic happens, the bet goes. So what you're saying?
No. Yeah, no. Not if somebody dies. No.
Right. So what you're saying is that if, because you're pretty much putting the blame on her, which is kind of sexist, that she's going to be like, I'm sick of this shit. I'm out. And in a relationship. And if said thing happens, then I owe you $50.
If they get a divorce, you owe me $50.
Can we get like a time?
As soon as that news comes out on TMZ, like J-Lo and Ben have split, I'm going to text you.
Nigga, I got to pay you like $50 when I'm like 68 years old.
It's not going to last that long. But come on, man. When was the last time she lasted 20 years in a relationship? Come on, man.
She been in and out of them.
I'm just doing the math, bro. I'm just working the numbers and the algorithms, man. And it just says she's not going to last 20 years with dude.
Well,
it's just statistics, man. Come on, man. It's just the law of the averages, man.
I mean, either you or I are going to be.
Her relationships has expiration dates, bro.
That actually brings up a good
She
point.
Gets tired of somebody. She gets tired of you after like 5 years max.
That brings up a really, really interesting point I was talking about at work. Do you think that marriages should have expiration dates?
And then you have to renew it?
Every other license you got to renew except for that one.
That's valid.
It's the one license you ain't got to renew.
If y'all still want to keep staying married, y'all got to go back and renew it.
Right. Every
I might be down. I might be down with that.
Every license that's out there, every license has a renewal date. Mm-hmm. A passport has 10 years and you have to renew it. Everything.
Passport, driver's license, insurance policies, everything has to be renewed.
Except for a marriage license. The most important one is the one that doesn't have an expiration.
Registrations, yep. Everything.
Everything. Everything. Except for marriage license.
Hmm.
No expiration date.
Why is that?
I don't know. I just think that's something we should reassess as a people.
And they can make money off of it because then you would have to pay a fee every time you renew it.
You know why? You know why? Because, you know, all the lawyers in this country be mad as fuck because you get more money from divorces than...
That's probably what it is. That's exactly what it is. You just hit it in the head.
Yeah, because if it has an expiration date...
There'd be no divorces.
No, there would be, because they'd be like, you know what? We're just going to wait till the end of this, you know, till the license expires and we're not married anymore.
Right. Exactly.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. Divorces will be a thing of the past.
Right.
And that, my friend, is the reason why that doesn't exist. We just solved our own question.
Yeah, we just Scooby-Doo the shit without Velma.
There's too much money that gets spread around in divorces. And a lot of different people eat off of that money.
And yeah, it's too many
courts, loopholes. Lawyers, judges.
It's too many loopholes. Like the license expires so you can like fuck other people for like a week. You got to renew it. Like, okay, we back married. Like,
babe, we wasn't together during them 2 days, look, bro.
This shit said
we wasn't legally married.
October 13th, I fucked her on the 14th. That was outside the
you
realm.
You see? I've never cheated on you while we was married.
Exactly. It wasn't in the time where the license was. But since it doesn't expire, cheating is going to be cheating because you're married. But there's an expiration date. There's a little gap. Like,
damn.
Like imagine like it expires and it's a holiday and I can't get to the office in time.
That's a wild loophole.
Like, technically.
But then you have to come into an understanding with your partner too. Like, okay, when our marriage license expires, are we technically single? Until we renew it. You know what I'm saying? Because she'll be like, all right, we wasn't legally married for that 1 or 2 days, but we were still together.
You start ducking, you like, can't find it. Like, yo, I need you to come sign this paperwork. You're like, oh, yeah, I'm running a little bit at the store. And every time she come, the store closed.
And then you know what happens too? And then that opens up another Pandora's box about child support and people with kids. Like, what happens with that? You know what I'm saying? The father waits for the shit to expire and then just dips on the family. Then what?
Well,
you can still get them for child support. Does you get half of something? Like, you're not married no more. Like, it opens up a whole box of shit.
I mean, that's just something that has to be something that's contractually based more than anything else. Like, what are the standards that we're setting? And it's like, if you're signing like a marriage license, well, it's a marriage license, whatever, but it's still technically a contract between two people. So it can basically set the parameters. If this happens and so on and so forth, you have to pay X amount in this of whatever percentage of your salary for support and blah, 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 so on and so forth. And I think we're actually going to get killed doing this shit because we're just like, we're pretty much like eliminating child support court cases. We're eliminating lawyers. We're really fucking with the legal system here, so we're just going to stop. I'm just thinking about it now. Like, yeah, that's why they don't do it, because if somebody did figure this out, yep, people get killed.
But yo, let's get out of here, man.
Yeah, I ain't dying over this.
J.M. Barry said, not in doing what you like, but in liking what you do is the secret of happiness. The culture. Check out the website, theculture.one. It's your boy Jeff, my man Ant.
You ended off a quote with a white man on Martin Luther King Day.
That's fucked up, right? That's racist of me, wasn't it? Was that racist?
Yeah.
It's the racist.
We're talking about thinking racist in the by a quote with a white man. Go on about your business. Go on.
Damn, that was racist.
It's too late now. Don't edit. Do not edit this shit out. Leave this shit right.
I'm not editing. I'm not editing.
Yep, leave this shit right the fuck in there.
Nah, I can't handle it.
No. Do not take. No. Leave this motherfucker right there. Matter of fact, I didn't record this shit. I should have.
I need a Martin Luther King quote. I need a Martin Luther King quote.
Don't go. No. Don't save it now. Martin can't save you. Don't do it now. He's like, no. I need a King quote. No, you know what? That's fine. Because Martin Luther King wanted equality amongst people, so it's fine to leave a quote by J.M. Barry. Trust me. Equality amongst people. As long as so many Martin Luther King quotes out there, don't go looking through it. Don't find some old random
people. No. I have to end it with a Martin Luther King quote because you just called me racist.
No, you called it so racist. It's kind of particularly going to say end it with a quote.
Well, this episode was about racism, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're going to end it with a quote of white man on Martin Luther King. Ain't that something?
Fuck. That's fucking wrong. That's wrong. I got to make this right.
Martin Luther King spinning over in his fucking grave right now, like these motherfuckers.
That's wrong. I dropped the ball on that one.
Between that and then Haitian shooting at you, man.
And that shit was glass. The ball was glass and I dropped it.
You out here shooting on that double rim. Rim is tight, boy. You got to go in.
Well, this is a similar quote, but this time, this one is from Martin Luther King Jr., the Dr. Martin Luther King, the King Jr. We must use time creatively in the knowledge that the time is always right to do right. Dr. King forgave me already, man. He forgave me.
No, Jesus forgives. Dr. King don't. He gone. He like.
He forgives. He forgives.
Like, these motherfuckers, boy. I tried with y'all. I really tried with y'all. They're going to fuck it up on my day. Mm. Sorry,
Doc. Happy MLK Day, man.
Peace.
We out.
Thanks for listening to the Culture Podcast.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode.
For more info and updates, connect with us on our website, theculture.one, or on Facebook at The Culture Podcast 2020, or follow us on Twitter and YouTube at The Culture 2020.
I always follow them. Please subscribe to the show and leave reviews and comments where you listen to podcasts.